Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to the Ways of Faith podcast. Today is December 16th, and we are getting close to Christmas. And I did not have a podcast last week. Apologize for that. I was a little under the weather, but feeling better this week. So just wanted to continue our discussion about one of the public prayers of the church that I think is probably not all that well known by kind of the majority of Catholics, and that is the Liturgy of the Hours, or the Divine Office, or the Roman Breviary, all three names for the same thing. I talked about it a little bit in an introductory way a couple of weeks ago, and wanted to talk about it a little bit more specifically. It's possible I might repeat some of the information that I talked about last week or 2 weeks ago, but a little review is always a good thing, right? So the Liturgy of the Office is a series of prayers that is said, that's required to be said by and prayed by clerics, that is, by bishops, priests, and deacons each day. Laity, are most welcome and encouraged to pray the Liturgy of the Hours as well. Of course, they have no obligation to do so. So one of the things when I was ordained a transitional deacon and became a deacon of the church on the way to becoming a priest that I made a promise to do was to pray faithfully the Liturgy of the Hours every day on behalf of the church and for the church. Okay. Again, as I mentioned last week, or 2 weeks ago rather, it's one of the ways that we practically carry out the Lord's command to pray always without ceasing, right? So if we have different prayers at different points of the day, and you consider the fact that, you know, throughout the world, it's different time zones, and that means that you could quite literally say prayers are being chronologically offered at every moment of every day on behalf of the church, the formal prayer of the church. As I talked about last time, this tradition comes from originally from the monastic tradition, which would be the monks praying in monasteries, praying the 150 psalms. As we know, in the Book of Psalms, there's 150 of them. And the psalms really hold a pride of place among prayers in the sacred scriptures, right? Because like I said before, the Bible is made up of several different kinds of literature, history, poetry, exhortations, and prayers. And the Psalms are all prayers, right? The psalmist is praying to God, either a prayer of thanksgiving or an asking for help or voicing his anxiety and frustration, his concerns. All the different kinds of human emotion and human experience are so beautifully represented in the Psalms, which is why the church has always held them in such a pride of place. The Psalms for us are pride of place in regards to formal prayers of the church, because they're inspired scripture, because they're part of the Jewish tradition, because the Lord himself made use of the Psalms when he was on the earth, right? And because they've had a history of being prayed throughout the history of the church, throughout the 2,000-year history of the church. There's so much written by church fathers and all the way up to our own day about the power of the Psalms as forms of prayer. And just as a side note, you know, it's a good thing for us to be very familiar with the Psalms, you know, and so we may be more familiar with certain parts of the Bible than others, and that's okay. But I would say, especially in regards to the Old Testament, one of the parts of the Old Testament that we should be very familiar with is the Psalms. So maybe even if we just made it our practice, for example, to work our way through the Psalms on a regular basis so that, you know, maybe I, for example, would say, okay, I'm going to pray one Psalm every day. So I'm going to start with Psalm 1, right? And as part of my morning prayer or evening prayer or just my regular prayers during the day, I'm just going to slowly and meditatively, carefully read through and pray one psalm each day. Well, okay, if you do that, you know, and you have 150 days, what is that, about 5 months, 6 months? You'd read through the psalms every 6 months, right? You do that for a couple of years, and they're going to start to get pretty familiar. Which is one of the beautiful benefits of for priests is that because we pray the breviary every day, a lot of these psalms are just are at this point are memory, or you know, I've committed them to memory, not intentionally, but just from having recited them so many times, right? Which is of course a great blessing, because then you can pull them from your brain and use them as a prayer in different circumstances of life. Okay, so let's talk about the Liturgy of the Hours itself a little bit more specifically. There's 5 hours, as I mentioned before, and that doesn't mean 5 chronological hours, 5 60-minute periods. That means 5 different periods each day that are prayed. Okay, there's morning prayer. It's referred to in Latin as Lauds, which is to be prayed at some point in the morning. And then there's daytime prayer, which the diocesan priest, anyway, can pray any time during the daytime. So that's kind of loose, but usually it's sometime between like 9 and 4, right? Daytime hours, or 10 and 4. And he prays the one that corresponds, because there's mid-morning, midday, and mid-afternoon prayers, okay, in the breviary, in the Liturgy of the Hours. And the priest just needs to pray one of those three as daytime prayers. And he just picks the one that it most corresponds to the time on the clock. So if it's 12:30 when I have a chance to sit down and pray daytime prayers, then that's obviously midday. So I'm going to pray the prayers for midday. So that day I wouldn't pray the prayers for mid-afternoon or mid-morning, which is fine. He only has to pray one out of the three, and he prays the one that corresponds to the time of day that he has an opportunity to stop and pray. Okay. And then evening prayers traditionally is any time after 4 p.m. And then night prayer, of course, is the last prayer of the day, chronologically speaking, is prayed usually before he goes to bed, before the priest goes to bed, at the end of the day. And that doesn't even have to be on the same day, so to say. So like, let's say I have a very late night, maybe I got called to the hospital, or there's some sort of event going on or something, and it's, I don't get to bed till 12:30 in the morning, let's say. And so I can pray night prayer at 12:30 in the morning, even though it's technically the next day, it's still night. I haven't gone to bed yet, right? Then there's a fifth hour called the Office of Readings. And that one, the priest is able to decide when he wants to pray it at any point in the day. There's not a specific time of day that it's kind of assigned to. It can be joined together with another hour, with another, you know, like with morning prayer, with evening prayer. He can pray it on its own, you know, independently. And it can be prayed at any time. My own practice, just because I've found that it's what works best for me, is I pray the Office of Readings and morning prayer together. It's one right after the other. And I do that right away in the morning when I get up. And then daytime prayer is usually I get to daytime prayer in the afternoon, sometime between like 1 and 4. And then evening prayer is usually later. And that's really flexible for me. It just depends on what I got going on. But usually it's sometime between 5 and 7. And then, of course, night prayer before I go to bed. That's just the routine that I've found helpful. So what is this, or what is the Liturgy of the Hours? How does it work? Well, it's not something that can be really easily explained in an audio version, just because, like a podcast, because of the fact that you really need to look at the book and point and show how it's laid out, and that's hard to do, obviously, over a podcast. But the basic thrust is that, with the exception of night prayer, okay, the other 4 hours. Office of Reading, morning prayer, daytime prayer, evening prayer. All 4 of those hours are going to consist of 3 psalms prayed, okay? It might also be one long psalm that's broken into 3 parts, but it's going to be 3 parts with an antiphon that the priest prays first, and then the psalm, and then he repeats the antiphon again at the end of the psalm, and then he goes on to the next one, okay? And there's a hymn that is sung or recited. And a closing prayer. Those kind of 3 parts are, I'm kind of thinking about it as I'm giving this podcast, as you can tell, and a reading from the scripture and a responsorial psalm. So those are in every hour. There's a psalm, at least one, if not 3. There's a short reading from the scriptures. There is a responsorial psalm, Okay, just a back and forth versicle, it's called technically, and a closing prayer and a hymn, right? Now, some of the other hours have more than that, but all of the hours have at least that, okay? So let's go through each one a little bit. I think the most, for me, the most fascinating one is the Office of Readings, that hour, because what it is it starts with three psalms, like I've just said, and then you have two longer readings, which is why it's called the Office of Readings, okay? The first reading is always from the Bible, and it's a way for the priest or layperson throughout the course of the year to work their way through the Bible. Now, it doesn't cover the entirety of the Bible, but it covers the vast majority of the, especially the most kind of significant portions or pieces of the Bible, except the Gospels. The Gospels are not in the Office of Readings. It's all New Testament or Old Testament books other than the Gospels. And the reason for that is because we work our way through the Gospels at Mass. Okay? So, now, that what scripture reading it happens to be for the Office of Readings depends on a couple of things. It depends on, for example, what season we're in, right? So the Office of Readings right now during Advent are all coming from the book of the prophet Isaiah. We're basically working our way through the book of the prophet Isaiah in chunks, okay? Because so much of the prophet Isaiah's writings are prophecies of forthcoming glory, forthcoming salvation, forthcoming redemption, which of course are themes that are at what Advent is all about, okay? So that's the first of the two readings. The second of the two readings is always not scripture, but a writing of a saint or of a church council or of church teaching, right? Most of the time it's a writing of a saint, either an excerpt from a homily by one of the saints or one of their writings, one of their tracts, you know, one of their teachings that has to do with either the season that we're in or the feast day that we're celebrating or the gospel that's going to be read at Mass that day, or it could relate to the previous scripture passage that we just read. So they're connected. They're connected. Okay. And then there's a closing prayer. And there's a few other little parts mixed in there too with the Office of Readings. All right. But that part is kind of one of my favorites just because it changes depending on is it a feast day today or not? What season are we in? That can make it a little complicated, especially for people who are new to praying the breviary. Don't let that scare you, though. But there's such a vast richness. So many writings of the saints and writings of church mothers and church fathers and writings of church councils and things to accompany the writings from the sacred scripture that make up the first of the two readings, okay? There's always so much wisdom to be drawn from every single day. Okay, and then we get to morning prayer. Morning prayer and evening prayer are exactly the same as far as layout. They're different psalms and different prayers and different readings, but it's the exact same layout, okay? So currently how that is prayed is after the opening sign of the cross and the opening glory be to the Father, which starts every hour, okay? There's a hymn. Then there's three psalms. Then there's a short reading from the scriptures. And then there's a short responsorial psalm, as I mentioned. And then there's what's called the gospel canticle. And that is praying, and it's always the same in morning prayer, and it's a different one, but it's always the same for evening prayer. So in morning prayer, it's called the Canticle of Zechariah, which is the prayer of praise that is sung by Zechariah when John the Baptist was born in the Gospel of Luke. I believe it's Luke chapter 1. Okay? And then in evening prayer, the Gospel Canticle is the Magnificat, which is Mary, Mother Mary's prayer of praise, song of praise, at the Visitation in the first chapter of Luke. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, etc. So we pray that at every evening prayer. We pray the Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, the Canticle of Zechariah at every morning prayer, okay? Because those are like cornerstone pieces of praise of who we are, right? And then after that, after the Canticles of Zechariah or Canticle of Mary, Then that's followed by prayers of intercession, praying for the church and for the world, for the sick, for the suffering, for the dying. And then we always pray an Our Father, and then a closing prayer. Okay, so that's morning prayer and evening prayer. Daytime prayer is starts the same, sign of the cross. God, come to my assistance, with the response, Lord, make haste to help me, which that's itself right from the Psalms, okay? And then a glory be. And then there's a hymn, three psalms, a short reading, a short responsory, and a closing prayer. And then night prayer is a little bit different. It's even briefer, but it's a little bit different. So again, begins with God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Or will be forever. Amen. Excuse me. And then for night prayer, the person then makes an examination of conscience. So you take a few moments to in silence to reflect on the day and to ask the Lord's forgiveness for sins committed, to give thanks for blessings received, and then make some sort of act of contrition, whether it's Lord have mercy, or whether it's I confess to Almighty God, or making the actual act of contrition, oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for all of my sins. It's a long-standing tradition in the history of the church to make an act of contrition before we go to bed, right? Then there's a hymn, one psalm, okay, so it's shorter. Night prayer is the shortest of the hours. One psalm, and I should correct that. A couple of the nights of the week, there are two psalms, but they're short psalms. So it's a shorter prayer. And then a very short reading, responsory. A gospel canticle, like evening prayer and morning prayer. Only this one is, again, from Luke, but Luke chapter 2, I believe. It might be chapter 3. The presentation in the temple. The short little exclamation made by prophet Simeon. Now, Lord, you can let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people. Right? When he holds the newborn king in his arms, okay? And then after that, there's a closing prayer. And then we always end night prayer with a Marian hymn, whether it's the Salve Regina or the Hail Holy Queen or the Hail Mary, something to Mary before we go to bed to honor her, okay? So that's kind of a rundown through the Liturgy of the Hours. Now, of course, there's a whole lot more to it than that, but my encouragement would be, I think this is something that our laity really should pray. Like I said, the priests make a promise to pray it on behalf of the church, so we pray it for all of you and for the church. And of course, the breviary, you'll see me carrying it around from time to time. Mine has a black leather case, and the color of the pages depends on the season that we're in, but it's got a lot of ribbons hanging out of it, and I put a lot of my prayer cards in it and stuff like that. Priests become, obviously, very attached to their breviary because of the fact that it accompanies us throughout the day, every day. It just becomes part of our prayer life, part of our life, that we have our breviary with us at all times. Every once in a while when I've left it somewhere, like for example, there's been times when I've been up in Silver Bay for the day and then I accidentally leave it up there, and I have to call Cindy and ask her to set it aside for me and put it on my desk so that I know where it is. Thankfully, the entire breviary is available online for pretty much for free. I have an electronic backup in case I misplace my hard copy for a few moments or a day or two or whatever, or I'm traveling and I don't have access to it. It's one of the great, you know, things about modern technology. Makes it a little bit easier, but I don't usually try to pray it on my phone or on my tablet or on my computer or whatever unless I have to. I like to still have the book in my hand. For the exact reason, it becomes my prayer book. I write notes in it, highlight things, put prayer cards, prayer intentions, or, you know, I got sticky notes stuck in it from different prayer intentions and things for people, and it becomes a very treasured book. And so my encouragement would be this, for our laity, for those who are interested, for parishioners, the hinges traditionally of the Liturgy of the Hours are morning prayer and evening prayer, okay? Of the five, those are the two most significant, morning prayer and evening prayer. So maybe what a person could do, for example, is, and you know, a good time to do that would be like the start of a new liturgical season. So during Advent, during Lent, okay, would be to say, you know what, during this next Lent, upcoming Lent, I'm going to pray, maybe with my spouse, I'm going to pray evening prayer every day with the church, and just start with that, okay? Now, you can go online to ibreviary.com, and it'll have it laid out for you. So all you have to do is basically pray right through it. You don't have to like move the breviary actual book around as far as flip from different pages and different parts of the book and try to keep up with all of that. Although I would highly recommend learning how to do that because it's a really neat thing to know how to do. If you want to get a little bit more invested than just going online, if you're thinking, you know, this is something that sounds really neat and I'd like to make a part of my regular daily prayer, a good place to start is actually not to get the 4-volume set of the full liturgy of the hours. I mean, you certainly could, but that's what the priest has or the deacon has, is the 4-volume set. It's broken into 4 parts. So there's 2 books that are for ordinary time, which is the longest season, 1 for Advent and Christmas, 1 for Lent and Easter. Okay. There's a shortened version of the liturgy of the hours called, and it's a red book that's just simply called Christian Prayer. And all that is morning prayer and evening prayer. It's the same liturgy of the hours, so it's the same thing I would be praying out of my, you know, comprehensive volume, but it doesn't have the other 3 minor hours, you know, of office of reading, daytime prayer, night prayer. It just has morning prayer and evening prayer. And to learn how to navigate that and carry that with you, you know, start with praying morning prayer and evening prayer. Takes, you know, if a person's praying it conscientiously and not kind of speeding through it, it takes about 10 minutes to pray morning prayer or to pray evening prayer. And so it's a perfect little prayer to begin the day or end the day. I would be most happy, you know, because the breviary is one of those things that priests, you know, love to talk about. I'd be most happy to teach anybody how to pray the breviary, how to pray the liturgy of the hours, how to pray morning prayer and evening prayer on their own so that you can do it at home. Please don't hesitate to ask me if this is something you're interested in doing. I would be happy to walk you through it, to give you pointers, all of that. I know it actually is a little bit confusing at first to kind of find the right pages and where are we now, you know, with this liturgical season and all of that. So don't hesitate. If this is something that interests you and you'd like to learn more or you want to get yourself a copy of the Christian Prayer, or even if you want to go all out and get a copy of the full 4-volume set of the Liturgy of the Hours, it's not cheap. It's about $100. And learn how to pray the Liturgy of the Hours with the church. You're praying the formal prayer of the church, which is a beautiful thing. You're joining priests, sisters, nuns, brothers, religious, deacons, bishops, and other lay people throughout the world who are praying those same prayers that day. Okay? So, like you said, if you have any questions, if you want to learn more, email me, call me, pull me aside after Mass, set up an appointment, whatever you'd like to do. Until next time, take care and God bless. I plan to have a podcast next week, even though it's the day before Christmas. We'll talk maybe a little bit about Christmas next week. Okay? God bless.